Welcome to Let's Watch with Formal Shark. Our first foreign to watching some kind of motion picture or something and critiquing it and having a bit chat about it afterwards. This time we've had the movie Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, a 2015 movie directed by Alfonso Gomez Rijon.
I have no idea how to tell this story. I don't even know how to start it. This is the story of my senior year of high school and how it destroyed my life.
Your father and I want to talk to you about something sad. Rachel Kushner has been diagnosed with leukemia.
That sucks.
It sucks.
It sucks quite a bit.
You might be someone who could make Rachel feel better.
I don't need your stupid pity.
I'm not here because I pity you. I'm actually here because my mom is making me.
It's actually worse.
Watching it tonight, there's been Phil,
yep.
Sarah.
Yeah.
And myself.
No way, I'm waving at the microphones. It's terrible. Yeah.
So this came as a recommendation from yourself, Phil?
Yeah, came from me. So watched it a couple of years ago. I rented it, and immediately after renting it, I bought it straight away. Mm-hmm. They're really annoying, because I think Google should do a thing where if you've just watched it, you should be able to buy it and get the rent back.
Like a discount rate or something?
Yeah.
So if you're going to buy it, knock off the £2 or £3 that you paid for
it. It was a bit annoying that I'd like just watched it and then.
So it's like a try before you buy a discount sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can see why, to be honest, having just watched the film, like literally it's just finished 3 minutes ago, I can see why you bought it straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite interesting that, because sometimes like really emotional films, you don't think, oh, I want to watch that again.
Mm.
But it's one of those
movies
that actually.
I watched this again.
Yeah, it's very.
The next thing I did was I bought the book because it's based on a book.
Right.
It goes into depth a little bit more in places and things.
Well, here's the weird thing. Sorry, not interrupting, but we're going to chat about the film. How do we chat about the film without too much of a spoiler?
Well, I mean, I think that, well, I guess, you know, anyone listening to this, if you've not seen Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, I would probably say, go away, watch it, come back and listen to this.
Go and watch it now, because, like, from this point onwards, we're probably going to get into a major spoilery kind of thread.
Yeah, definitely.
And go and watch it. That's basically the biggest recommendation from me, sitting in my side of the chair. It's like, go and watch it.
Go and watch it,
And then, like, you know.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So anyway, so me and Earl and the Dying Girl, blurb from IMDb, a high schooler Greg, who spends most of his time making parodies of classic movies with his co-worker Earl, finds his outlook forever altered after befriending a classmate who has just been diagnosed with cancer. So that's, well, I didn't even know all of that when I went into it. You, Phil, described it as, you know, somebody who makes friends with someone with cancer. That was about it.
Mm. That was pretty much the extent of my kind of knowledge. I didn't know anything about the film, and actually when it kind of came on, it was very kind of geeky kid doesn't fit in sort of Diary of a Wimpy Kid kind of style, and kind of almost tragicomedy, and also there was like, I liked some of the film shots. There's some weird film angles where it was the camera's like horizontally, like 40, you know, like 90 degrees to where it would normally be, so they're like walking up the street but up the screen.
Yeah.
And just when the first opening scenes, like when he walks into this school and it's like the bow of a ship, I don't know if you remember, and the corridor sort of bisects and goes up in two different ways, you can get that whole sense of like the oh shitness of a kid that doesn't fit in at school.
I found that with the cafeteria.
Yes.
So the first time we're introduced to the cafeteria, and it feels more like a corridor that they've just put a load of tables in.
It, really
it just
narrow.
Goes on
into
eternity, you know, and he's continually walking down this corridor.
I mean, from my point of view, I was hooked into the film from that point of view straight away, because I relate to the geeky thing from high school. It was a long time ago for me, but I can recommend, that was the hook that kind of dragged me into the film, because I can relate to that.
I think it plays with the whole high school cliches a lot.
It does.
But it doesn't go with them in that cliche way. It really sort of like, plays and uses them in a way that's quite interesting, I think.
Yeah. It's nice that it kind of draws on stuff that a lot of people, I would imagine, could relate to across many ages, because that's the other thing. This is a high school kid story. I'm way past high school age, but still related to it. And it kind of draws you in and makes you care about and relate to Greg, the central character.
really quickly.
Well, like everybody's been in that situation where you're meeting somebody you know, but something's changed, they've been ill or something like that, and it's that first meeting of them again.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you know, somebody in the family's died or whatever, and then you're like, okay, is it going to be normal? What am I going to say? And I think there's always that few moments before everything's back to normal where there's just a pause and a And I think it deals with that in a really thing of that in a monologue that certainly I have in them situations.
Yeah, it's really, it is quite interesting and like you say, I think it is totally relatable. I mean, everyone's been through, you know, secondary school, high school, whatever it is, you know. You know, you couldn't have picked a better movie for something that I really like, because I love coming of age dramas. You know, they're like one of me sort of, you know, little genre, sub-genres, I suppose, of movies I really like. And this was a really good sort of coming of age drama, yet, you know, coming of age in some of like the most extreme circumstances that you probably go into, you know, having to go through.
It's actually, because it was, the story was kind of, well, I suppose it clues in the title, like, Me, Earl and the Dying Girl. So it's the me is the character that you follow.
Yeah.
And so is it the ill girl story? Is it a social commentary? Is it a tragic comedy? Because in some ways it was.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly some of the narrative that's written on the screen as you go through, that's not taking itself too seriously.
Yeah.
Because you get the humour of the central character. Mm-hmm. That geeky kind of thing where, you know, the self-effacing humour, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's I loved all of that with, like, the titles and all that sort of stuff. And obviously you kept referring to the movie, which, like, they watch in the bed at the end and stuff. But I actually think, like once you've seen it all, you realise that the movie or whatever that he's referring to is the movie that we've actually sat and watched.
Yeah.
You know, and like, when all of the script prints off at the end, literally the last words he's saying in voiceover is the last, like, line on that script that prints off before, you know, Finn, the end, comes up on the script, you know. So it's like, this movie within a movie thing.
So
it's kind of the way he would have made it, you know. It's really, really well done. And your point about, like, the camera angles and things like that, I love the way that sometimes the camera was, like, watching him, and then other times the camera was him.
Yeah.
Like, one of the brilliant ones was, I think, where he walked into a room at one point and, like, lay on the bed. And it was the camera, like, the camera moved around in a room and, like, all of a sudden, like, went horizontal. And then it cut to the wider shot where he's lying on the bed. I really liked the way it played with, you know, point of view and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm trying to think of how you would approach that subject, because the whole thing about it being relatable, I think there's two ways that you can look at it. It's a high school coming of age, like you were saying.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it as an older audience, like ourselves, some of us have, there's a greater chance that the real world older audience having come across that illness part and dealing with that. So it's relatable in two separate ways.
Yeah.
Coming of age, a bit of an overbearing parent, oh my God, leave me alone kind of stuff, the growing up stuff, and then the whole illness and sort of social context of that. It's very, very clever.
I think it's another a great example of where any subject can be funny, done right.
Yes.
Yeah. Is it black humour, though?
I would definitely class it as a black comedy,
Is it a black comedy? It's a tragic, but the humour that was in it wasn't black humour. It was like, the thing is, she had a, for want of a better term, like a chronic incurable illness. And people in that scenario, in life in general, can become the illness. It can kind of define them.
Mm.
And one of the things was the central character, Greg, was like, well, okay, you've got this, but I'm going to be my usual geeky self and make you laugh. Which kind of then alleviates the doom and gloom.
Yeah.
So it's not laughing at the situation, but it's laughing in spite of the situation. So
I think he was doing that more as, like, he does throughout his opening description, you know, it's all this defense mechanism to get himself through life.
Yeah,
you know, he's not in any of the cliques or groups in high school, and yet he's in all of them, and all that sort of stuff. And he's telling all these jokes and trying to make her laugh, not to try to make her laugh, but to try to make himself feel more comfortable in an uncomfortable situation. He's just trying to get through it.
Yeah,
I mean, he doesn't really want to be there.
Yeah,
from the start, anyway.
What point in the movie do you think, because this was brought out later on, where she knew that he was kind of there under duress, At what point in the movie do you think that switched? Because obviously there was a narrative point where he was going of his own accord.
Mm. Those are the two points where he sort of basically said it, didn't he? He said, oh, if this was a romantic film, we would kiss. And I think that was the point where, that the friendship had been cemented. And then again, cemented again when he said something similar, but I can't remember exactly what.
Mm. Yeah. And you think that was him as well, though, like in again, thinking that this is a movie that he's made. Mm. If he'd been making a romantic movie, would he had done it differently then? Yeah. So is that like, at the end where he's talking about regrets, is that one of his regrets that he never actually, had that romantic involvement?
Oh, that's a fourth wall thing.
That's incredible stuff.
And it's like, because if you take the... Actually, like the script that he's written and at the end of the film sent off to college, which is the script of the movie we've just watched, mm-hmm. not the movie inside the movie.
That's a
little bit of a stroke of genius because like when you've watched this two times now, and knowing the end of it, it's like you could watch it again and almost go, well, these little bits in the middle and going through become slightly more significant. Mm-hmm. Because it's now him putting footnotes and saying, if this was a comedy, I'd write it a different way. If this was a love story, I'd write it a different way.
But it's not.
And it's like... Yeah. And actually, one of the biggest twists was like he said... I remember the first time he said, don't worry, she recovers. Don't worry, she lives.
Yes.
And I kind of went, oh, cool. Okay. Because I was getting really wound up at that point.
I think what was really interesting was obviously I've seen it a couple of times now. So I was watching it, but I was also... And how you changed how a certain bit of the film, she just got deadly quiet. There was not the rustling, there was nothing.
Mm,
as the tension was building up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to eat the snacks.
But yeah, but there was, the whole atmosphere in the room changed of both ears, or the audience that were watching it.
Yeah.
I was really noticed that quite
a bit. You do get there is a certain, oh shit, this gets serious. There's a certain point in the movie where it becomes, okay, we've done the humour, now it's not so much funny.
Yeah.
And then the ending's nice because they bring back the laughter to an extent. Yes, it's still slightly bittersweet.
It's a bit melancholy. Yeah.
But, you know, they bring back that kind of laughing for the memory of someone that you laughed with sort of idea, that kind of vibe.
I think one thing, what was your favourite parody on them?
Oh, I mean, again,
see, Mike was close.
Yeah, you're a complete film fan, so some of the jokes.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I've already mentioned, coming of age dramas, and then this features, people who make movies. It's brilliant. It's really, really inspiring.
I see Sockwork Orange.
So yes, I actually want to see that Sockwork Orange. I want to see that film.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could almost watch it again just to have a look at those. What could they say they do? 42. Where it pans across the shelf and it's all their DVDs that they've made and stuff.
So
he's
going to have a look at it.
So brilliant sort of choices and totally great send ups of.
And talking about this sort of the relatable thing, because, in reality, we've done. Well, you more than I, but because I wasn't really involved at the time, but you've done fan films, you've made them.
Mm.
So it's kind of, when we've done this kind of stuff in the past, it's like, yeah, well, that's not too, that's believable, because, like, it happened.
Yeah.
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 You know.
Yeah. Taking a classic movie and doing it in a poorer way is like, I think it's
fan films, come on, it's not poorer way, really it's fan good. Films. It's an homage.
Okay, so going back to the bit about... the bit about saying, oh, she survives and all that. I was hoping for like a double bluff. I was thinking,
you were hoping
the first time you mentioned it, I was thinking,
really?
All right, okay, really. And then you mentioned it again, I thought, all right, are you really telling the audience to like calm down and enjoy this movie? Mm. And I was thinking, are you really like, is it going to take that dark turn at the end? Or is it going to take the dark turn, but then everything will be okay? I didn't really know where it was going to take.
I didn't know.
I found myself sitting watching it at some point, and the other girl who keeps popping up now and again, and you get that animated, stamp and stuff, which made me chuckle every time. But that other girl keeps turning up. I thought something like was going to bad happen to her, and there's going to be some weird twist or something. And I just thought, no, that's too out there. The movie's going in that direction. I'm just like, but when your mind starts like, because it played a little bit with your expectation.
Mm. It did actually, because I was thinking, she's within this whole thing of the fight and whatnot. She's obviously gone. this kid's kind of cool, asked him out to prom and everything. You think, that would be, you know, a good outcome for the character. And off screen, he's obviously said no. I'm assuming he's not going to stand the rope. And gone off and done the prom thing at the hospital. That was like, and the thing is, the girl didn't say a word in that final scene. There was no talking from her at all. It was all just facial expressions.
Yeah, she said so much in the whole face and then everything that went on.
I thought that was really Olivia Cook, the actress.
What else is she in? That was phenomenal.
So I recognised her so far through, and I thought I recognise her from somewhere, and sort of playing in a dying girl role. But she's in the Bates Motel TV series, where she plays somebody who's like got a lung deficiency or something. I hope she's not being typecast or anything.
Not meant to be when you're an older actress. You're not going to get
many sequels if that's a typecast thing.
But didn't recognise her from a lot of other movies. She's been in some other things, but that was, I think, where I spotted her from.
And then Earl is just a fantastic character.
He is. Yes. Is he a stereotype, or is he really just the counterfoil to the? Because he grows up to be a fairly streetwise kid as a counterfoil to the awkward guy.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff.
Yeah, I guess he does. Okay. I don't know.
Keeps in the titties.
Stereotype necessarily, but he's definitely a good character. The co-worker.
The co-worker thing was fantastic.
I really liked the dad, Nick Hoffman playing. Yeah. Really, really good. Some funny things there with the different food and stuff, exotic.
And again, I think the book goes into more about that and more about
dessert
and stuff like that. So yeah, I think if you like the film, the book gives you that little bit. Bit more, and is a decent read. And I'm not a reader in that sort of sense. I've really got to get into a book. Yeah, it's got to be easy to read, and I've really got to get into it. If not, it doesn't have the time of day.
There was a little narrative bit in the middle where the dad was talking directly to camera, almost in a voiceover way. Do you remember that bit where he's in the library or whatever, and there's lots of
footage of him
leafing through stuff?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Dad's face to camera, talking. And that was...
He's talking to the clerk, isn't he, who's just completely not listening with headphones on and everything.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. It's more like that's a projection to the audience a little bit. Yeah.
It is a fourth wall kind of thing. And it's it didn't immediately make sense, but it was kind of just the tone of what he was saying rather than what he was saying was kind of...
Yeah.
I'd have to watch it again because I can't remember what he said. But
no, a lot of really good stuff like that. I mean, I was absorbed in the story, but I think I hoped to watch it again and spotting some of those, really, really good camera angles and the way they like blocked stuff. And I love the way that two people would walk in different sides of the room and you'd be filming across a room, and but they're both in different doorways or like both in different windows, and you're shooting like or someone's in a mirror and someone's in shot. Yeah. Really interesting, like camera techniques.
Well, it's a very arty piece as well. Yeah. I think in a lot of senses, it has that sort of independent arty feel to it.
Yeah.
But it's actually got the script to back it up and the acting to back it up.
Yes,
as
it
well.
Has. Yeah.
And then
really good acting.
Then you've also got that. Earl was stood there with the cloth behind the mum when they're doing the interviews.
Yes.
Which is homebrew film stuff because we've done it.
Then capturing that breakdown of the mother. She's having a breakdown.
She's definitely having something.
And you're sort of realising quite thingy that she's just drinking all the time and stuff like that. And I think that.
And I like that way in his end film that he was showing her in the hospital. For all we'd seen all of the making of it and, like interviews, asking questions and all that, that didn't really feature. All that he was showing was like these emotions.
It was all silent
and he was just pulling the emotions of people out there, and it wasn't.
Because all the interview bits were the stuff that she would hate,
And
I think that was quite interesting that they were saying the things that that somebody would say if you said, "Oh, somebody's dying, do this." Yeah. They would say all that, "Oh, you can do it."
Yeah.
But why say that when you know that she's...
Because they'd already had that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knew her quite well.
Definitely
good.
Yeah.
So
are we
going to give it a rating?
No, I
wouldn't rate them, but I would say, do we recommend it? And I think it's...
It's a recommend from me.
Oh, yeah, so thumbs up from me. Doubly so. I mean, it's just I'm not the one to sort of actively seek out oddball films, but this one's kind of just crossed my horizon, and I'm like, yeah, definitely.
Well, in the next couple of months, we'll be getting more oddball films.
Okay,
on.
More and more and more eclectic. Yeah, yeah. Definitely a recommendation.
I would say it's a recommend from me as well. Me and Earl and the Dying Girls.
It was the best of times. Worst of times.
It's so much harder than I thought it would.
It was life.
Next time we had a recommendation or a vote to watch Children of Men.
Yeah.
The 2006 movie by Alfonso Cuarón. So if you haven't already seen that and you want to listen to our thoughts about that one next month, get out there, have a watch or have a rewatch if you've seen that, and we will be talking about that next time. This has been Let's Watch with Formal Shark. I've been Lloyd.
I've been me.
I've been Phil. Visit us at www.formalshark.co.uk or on Facebook, www.facebook.com/formalshark.
But find the website, lots of other podcasts on there as well, for your amusement.
There's going to be lots of stuff coming out from Formal Shark this year, all sorts of exciting projects, so keep an eye on our Facebook, basically.